Today we're building a sliced old-school D&B percussion layer in Ableton Live 12 without wrecking your headroom. And this is a really useful workflow, because that classic jungle energy is often all about movement, texture, little ghost hits, rim shots, and shuffled ticks sitting behind the main drums. The trap is that sliced percussion can get wild fast. A bunch of tiny transients stacked together can chew through your headroom before the drop even lands. So the goal here is not just to make it sound cool and solo. The goal is to make it sit properly in a real drum and bass mix, where the kick, snare, and bassline still need to hit hard. Let's start with the source. Pick a loop that has character, but isn't already smashed to death. Old school break loops, percussion loops with shakers and rims, lightly processed funk breaks, vinyl style rhythm loops, that kind of thing. You want clear transient detail, not a huge low-end mess. If the loop already has a kick and snare in it, that's totally fine. We're going to slice through it and keep only the useful percussion fragments. One thing to watch here, don't just trust the clip gain visually. A loop can look harmless and still throw sharp spikes once it's sliced. If the waveform is really jumpy, pull the level down early and give yourself room. Now set up the project cleanly. A good starting tempo is around 170 to 174 BPM for modern D&B, or 160 to 170, if you're leaning more jungle. Make a drum bus group, make a percussion layers group, and leave some space on the master while you build. A good rule is to aim for peaks around -6 to -8 dB during production. That way, every new slice and transient doesn't become a gain staging headache later. Next, drag the loop onto a MIDI track. Ableton will usually load it into Simpler automatically. Open Simpler, switch it to slice mode, and choose a slicing method. For this kind of old-school percussion, transients is usually the best place to start, because it captures the little hits naturally. If the loop is very even rhythmically, 1/16 or 1/8 can work too, but transients gives you the most useful chop points for drum and bass. Set playback to trigger, turn snap on, and if you hear clicks at the slice edges, add a little fade. Keep the voice count sensible, maybe 8 to 16 voices depending on how busy the pattern is. If the loop is slightly loose and human, that's not a problem. In D&B, a bit of natural swing can be a feature, not a bug. Before you start writing a pattern, clean the source. Old school loops often carry more low end than you actually need. You can do this inside Simpler with a filter, or with stock devices in front of or after it. A simple cleanup chain could be a EQ8 with a high pass around 150 Hz, maybe a small cut around 300 to 500 Hz if it sounds boxy, then utility, to pull the level down a few dB if needed. If you want a little more density, add a very mild saturator drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB, but keep it subtle. The big idea here is support layer, not second drum kit. If the loop is fighting your main break or snare, it's probably too loud, too wide, or too full range. Now for the fun part. Right-click the track and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Ableton will create a drum rack with each slice mapped across pads. This is where the workflow really opens up, because now the chopped loop becomes a playable instrument instead of one long messy file. Don't use every slice. That's one of the fastest ways to clog the mix. Listen through and curate. Keep the useful ghost hats, little rim shots, shaker bursts, offbeat metallic hits, those tiny break accents that give the groove motion. Mute it or delete anything with too much low end, any big snare hit that clashes with your main snare, and any duplicate transients that don't add anything. A really practical target is to keep around 5 to 12 slices. That's often enough to make a great percussion bed without turning it into chaos. Now program a MIDI pattern. Think like a D&B drummer, not like you're just filling space. Offbeat hats on the ends of the beat work great. Ghost slices just before the snare add forward motion. A little call and response between a tick and a rim can keep it alive. Add a short fill at the end of every 4 or 8 bars. If you want a bit of jungle flavor, throw in a few triplet nudges now and then. And this part matters a lot for headroom. Use velocity like a human would. Not every hit should be equally loud. Accents need to pop, ghost hits need to stay low, and only a few slices should really poke through. Flat velocity makes the layer robotic and it also creates more peak pressure than you need. If the rack feels too spiky, control gain at the source instead of reaching for a limiter. Use utility to trim the whole rack by a few dB if it's hot. Reduce Simpler's volume if needed. If the slices are uneven, map velocity to volume and tighten the velocity range. You can use compression gently if the layer is still too wild, but keep it light. We're shaping, not flattening. For transient control, drum bus is very useful here. Keep drive low, maybe 5 to 15%. Use crunch subtly, and only reduce transients a little if the spikes are aggressive. Saturator is also great, because it can give you perceived loudness without huge peaks. Again, the goal is density and attitude, not brute force limiting. Now make sure the layer stays out of the way of your kick, snare, and bass. EQ8 is your friend. High pass somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz depending on the source. If the loop is muddy, cut some of the 250 to 500 Hz zone. If it's clashing with bass harmonics or snare crack, you may also want to carve a little around 1.5 to 4 kHz. And if your mix needs it, you can sidechain the percussion lightly to the kick or even to the full drum bus. Just a little ducking, maybe 1 to 3 dB, is often enough to keep it breathing. Also, check the layer in mono. That's a great teacher move. Old school percussion can sound exciting wide, but sometimes it collapses weirdly in mono. If the groove still works when summed, you're in good shape. Once the layer is working, route it into a percussion bus. On that bus, keep processing light and purposeful. Maybe a tiny EQ correction, a gentle glue compressor for 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction, some drum bus or saturator for tone, and a final utility for gain trim. No heavy smash. We want control and vibe, not a squashed top-end mess. Then arrange it like a real DNB record. Don't just loop it for 64 bars and call it done. In the intro, filter it and keep it narrow. In the build, unmute more slices gradually. In the drop, let the full groove work, but keep it selective. In the breakdown, remove the heavier pieces and leave the ghost textures. In the second drop, switch the slice order, change a few velocities, or swap in a different fill pattern. That kind of contrast is how you preserve headroom and keep the mix energetic. Busy sections can be thinner and quieter, and sparse sections can be a touch louder. You don't need constant level to create excitement. In fact, subtraction often gives you more impact than adding more layers. A few common mistakes to avoid here: keeping every slice, not gain staging the source, using a limiter as the first fix, leaving too much low end in the layer, making every hit equally loud, over-widening the percussion, and forgetting to automate it across the arrangement. Any one of those can make the layer feel cheap or make the mix lose punch. Here are a few pro moves if you want to push it further. Try creating a mono ghost percussion layer underneath the stereo layer for extra weight and solidity. Duplicate the rack and keep one version for the main groove and another just for fills. Resample your chopped pattern once it feels good, then slice the resample again for a more broken, dusty jungle texture. That printed, resampled sound often mixes easier and uses less CPU too. You can also predate alternate velocity phrases. One version with more ghost notes and softer dynamics, another with fewer notes and stronger accents. Then automate between them across the arrangement. It's a super simple way to make a loop feel alive without rewriting the whole groove. For a quick practice exercise, try this. Find a 1 to 2 bar break or percussion loop, slice it in simpler using transients, convert it to a drum rack, mute the low-end heavy slices, and program a 2-bar pattern with a few repeating hits, one ghost hit before the snare, and one fill at the end of bar 2. Then add EQ8 with a high pass around 180 Hz, utility at minus 3 dB, and drum bus with light drive. Compare the layer with and without processing. Then automate the layer in the second 8 bars by muting half the slices. If you want an extra challenge, render it to audio and reslice it into a second rack for even more broken jungle flavor. So the main takeaway is this: start with a characterful loop, slice it in simpler, turn it into a drum rack, keep only the useful hits, shape the dynamics with velocity and gentle processing, and route it to a percussion bus so you can control it as a unit. Keep the low end out, preserve the transients where it matters, and leave enough headroom for the kick, snare, and bass to still punch through. Do that well, and your percussion layer won't just add noise. It'll add that authentic old-school DNB movement, grit, and energy while still keeping the mix clean, loud, and controlled. That's the sweet spot right there.